All right, so today we're going deep, into Frederick Douglass's world through
Great.
his autobiography, My Bondage and My Freedom.
Right.
You probably already know him. I mean, as this powerful, abolitionist writer. But this deep dive is really about understanding him as a person, his experiences, his struggles, and in the end, his incredible resilience.
You know what strikes me most about this autobiography is Douglass's insistence on its authenticity.
Oh, really?
He names names. He names places. He talks about events. He wants to make it very clear this is not fiction. This is the truth of his life.
And that honesty makes his story so much more powerful.
Right.
You really feel the weight of his experiences.
Absolutely.
So we're going to trace his journey from those early days in slavery to his escape
Right.
and the remarkable life he built as a freeman.
It's a story that resonates, with anyone fighting for justice and equality, reminding us that, the fight for freedom is never truly over.
It's a constant struggle.
Absolutely.
So let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
His early life.
All right.
Douglass was born in Tuckahoe, Maryland, a place he describes as pretty desolate, even famine-stricken.
Wow.
It's a pretty stark starting point for a man who'd go on to achieve such greatness.
It's fascinating how we even point out that the name Tuckahoe, pronounced Tuckahoe, might reflect that poverty.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, was it a term coined, kind of in mockery, or did it stem from the desperation of someone literally stealing a hoe to survive?
Wow.
It sets the stage for a life marked by, hardship
All
and
right.
deprivation.
But even in this environment, Douglass remembers moments of joy from his childhood, playing with other enslaved children. These moments of innocence make the realities of the slavery that he faced even more jarring.
It becomes even more heartbreaking when we consider his family life.
Right.
He was separated from his mother at a young age.
Wow.
This was a tactic used to control enslaved people. You sever those family bonds.
Right.
He has a vivid memory of being denied food by Aunt Katie
Oh, wow.
and then rescued by his mother,
That's amazing.
who not only fed him, but, provided that maternal protection and love.
Right.
It highlights how slavery robbed these enslaved mothers of the joys of motherhood,
Right.
turning basic acts of care into acts of
It's
defiance.
those human details that make Douglass's story so relatable, even all these years later. And then the cruelty of maskers who would father children with enslaved women and then treat those children even worse, even selling them off to appease their wives. It reveals the hypocrisy and the barbarity at the core of this system.
And that hypocrisy becomes even more evident when we look at Douglass's time on Colonel Lloyd's plantation. This wasn't just a small farm. This was a vast enterprise, over 1,000 slaves, numerous farms, each one ruled by an overseer whose word was law.
Imagine living under that threat of violence
Absolutely.
and the fear of being sold to Georgia traders. It just adds another layer of anxiety and uncertainty to their lives.
He details, the constant struggle with hunger, fighting with hogs over scraps of food, the small acts of kindness from older slaves who would offer him some solace and
That's
hope. He
incredible.
even names the overseers,
Oh, really?
like Mr. CVA, whose death was seen as a merciful interposition of providence,
Wow.
and Mr. Gore, who murdered a young enslaved man named Dinby for refusing to come out of a creek.
That's horrible.
These weren't just faceless figures of authority. They were individuals who wielded immense power and often abused it.
It's chilling to think about the power these overseers held and the consequences of even the slightest disobedience. But
Absolutely.
amidst this darkness, there's this glimmer of hope in the slave songs sung on the plantation. Douglass describes these haunting melodies as reflecting the soul-crushing weight of slavery and sparking this early understanding of its dehumanizing nature.
What's fascinating is that these songs weren't just expressions of
Oh,
sorrow.
really?
They're often coded messages of
Wow.
resistance and longing for freedom.
That's amazing.
He even quotes some of the
Oh,
lyrics,
wow.
giving us a glimpse into the hearts and minds of those who endured this.
You can almost hear the echoes of those melodies and understand that deep yearning for freedom. And a turning point comes when Douglass is sent to Baltimore to live with the Aulds. He describes this immense joy and excitement at leaving the plantation, fueled by his cousin Tom's descriptions of the city. It's like a whole new world opening up to him, offering this glimmer of possibility.
He describes Master Hugh Auld as rather dour.
Okay.
Ambitious man consumed by his shipbuilding business.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Sophia Old, however, initially appears kind.
Okay.
She treats Douglas with a degree of humanity he hadn't experienced before.
Wow, that's interesting.
Provides better food, clothing, a sense of belonging.
That's pretty unusual for a slaveholding mistress.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
But tragically, she succumbs to the corrupting influence of slaveholding culture.
Oh, wow.
And becomes cold and cruel over time.
It's just a stark illustration of how slavery poisoned even those with seemingly good intentions.
Absolutely.
And this is where Douglas's forbidden education becomes so crucial.
Yes.
He learns to read and write.
Right.
And through this, he starts to understand the nature of slavery.
Right.
This knowledge fuels his discontent,
mm-hmm.
intensifies his yearning for freedom,
yeah.
and sparks this growing abhorrence for his enslavers.
It's incredible to think about the power of literacy in shaping his understanding of the world and his place in it.
And that brings us to a pivotal figure in Douglas's life, Edward Covey.
Okay.
The infamous slave baron.
The slave baron.
It's chilling to realize that there were people whose sole purpose
right.
was to crush the spirit of enslaved people
yeah.
through systematic dehumanization.
Douglas's time with Covey was a living hell.
Oh, wow.
Filled with whippings, hunger, psychological torture designed to break him.
It's just a truly dark chapter in his story.
It is.
But there is a turning point.
Yeah.
His physical fight with Covey,
right.
this act of resistance,
right.
is a pivotal moment
right.
where Douglas refuses to be broken
mm-hmm.
and reclaims his sense of manhood.
Any powerful moment
right.
that reveals a shift in Douglas's understanding of his own power.
Mm-hmm.
He realizes that even facing this overwhelming oppression,
yeah.
he can still fight back, he can still resist,
wow.
and he can hold on to his own humanity.
Right.
This fight with Covey really sets the stage for his eventual escape from slavery.
Right.
This daring act of self-emancipation.
Yeah.
That would change the course of his life forever. It was almost like a physical manifestation, you know, of this internal struggle that he'd been dealing with for years.
Right.
Like reclaiming his body and dignity.
Right.
His very right to exist as a human being.
And it set in motion his path to freedom.
Absolutely.
But escaping slavery, as we know,
yeah.
was dangerous
oh, yeah.
and arduous.
A long journey
yeah.
filled with setbacks and betrayals.
He made multiple attempts to escape.
Right.
Each one a gamble with his life.
Imagine the courage it took to make those plans.
Yeah.
Knowing that capture meant a return to a fate possibly worse than death.
And he talks about being betrayed by fellow slaves.
Right.
Who informed on his escape plans.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking to think about, you know,
yeah.
those complexities of trust and survival under such oppressive conditions.
It forces us to confront, you know, the moral dilemmas.
Absolutely.
Faced by enslaved people.
Right.
How do you navigate loyalty and self-preservation?
Right.
When the system is designed to pit you against each other.
Exactly.
It's amazing that he never gave up hope.
It is a testament to his spirit.
Even after experiencing such betrayal.
Absolutely.
And when he finally reached New York,
mm-hmm.
that feeling of liberation must have been overwhelming.
Yeah.
But freedom didn't erase the scars of slavery.
He describes his initial fear and loneliness in New York.
Oh, wow.
Which is a stark contrast to the elation, you know, he expected.
Right.
It's a reminder that the journey to true equality doesn't just end with physical freedom.
It's so true.
The psychological and social wounds of slavery,
yeah.
you know, the ingrained prejudices of society, mm-hmm. all of that continued to cast a long shadow.
It's a reminder that the fight for justice is ongoing.
Absolutely.
It's a process.
It is.
But even with these challenges, Douglas found his voice
right.
and joined the abolitionist movement,
yeah.
becoming this powerful advocate for the freedom of his people.
And it's fascinating how he uses his own experiences
yeah.
to challenge the notion of inherent racial differences.
Okay.
He talks about traveling on trains where white passengers refuse to sit next to him.
Oh, wow.
Only for those same seats to be desirable after a white governor chose to sit with him.
It just shows the absurdity of prejudice.
It does.
It's not about inherent qualities,
right.
but about societal perceptions
absolutely.
Used to maintain these power structures.
Precisely.
Right.
Douglas dismantles the idea that racism is biological.
Mm.
He shows that it's learned.
Right.
It's a social construct used to justify oppression.
It makes you examine your own biases.
Yeah.
And the ways we might unknowingly perpetuate inequality.
For sure.
And he's not afraid to call out the hypocrisy of American Christianity.
Right.
He argues that many slaveholding Christians
yeah.
twisted their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
to justify enslaving other human beings.
He uses really powerful language.
Oh, wow.
He refers to this pious cruelty of slaveholders
wow.
who used religion as a shield.
Right.
He even says he'd rather have a non-religious master.
Wow.
because the religious ones in his experience were often the cruelest.
It's an indictment of those who used religion to sanction and perpetuate this system built on exploitation.
Absolutely.
And dehumanization.
Right.
And he's equally direct about the economics of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
He refers to slaveholders as a band of successful raptors.
Wow.
Highlighting that their wealth was built on stolen labor.
He exposes the contradiction
right.
between American ideals of freedom
right.
and equality and a nation built on slavery.
That contradiction is also evident in his experiences abroad.
Right.
He found respect and dignity in England,
yeah.
a monarchy,
right.
compared to the prejudice he faced here.
The contrast is striking.
It is.
In England, he was treated as an equal.
Yeah.
No one questioned his humanity
right.
or treated him as less than because of his skin color.
It made him question the very fabric of American society.
It did.
And the ideals that it claimed to uphold.
Right.
His journey to England wasn't just about escaping persecution.
Yeah.
It was about finding a space where he could be seen and treated as a human being.
Absolutely.
Worthy of respect and dignity.
Right.
But despite finding refuge abroad,
mm-hmm.
Douglas felt this obligation to return to the United States and fight for the freedom of his people.
Yeah.
Even if it meant risking his own safety.
And that fate continued after slavery was abolished.
Right.
He understood that achieving legal freedom was just the first step in a long and arduous journey toward true equality.
He dedicated his life to challenging these systems of oppression.
He did.
And advocating for social justice.
Right.
Knowing that dismantling centuries of racism and discrimination
yeah.
would continue for generations to come.
And that's where his story transcends its historical context and
right.
becomes relevant for us today.
Yeah.
Douglas's fight for equality
yeah.
resonates deeply with the ongoing struggles for racial justice and social equity that we see all around us.
It's a reminder that the fight for freedom is never truly over.
Absolutely.
And that each generation must take up the mantle
right.
and continue pushing for progress. Yeah, it's incredible to think about the courage it took for him to return to a country that had treated him so unjustly.
Right. But he knew that true freedom, you know, required more than just his personal liberation.
Right.
It required systemic change.
And he didn't just speak out against injustice. He took action.
Right.
Like he challenged his former master, Thomas Auld.
Right.
In a letter.
Oh, wow.
Demanding to know the whereabouts of his siblings who were still enslaved.
That's powerful.
It was a bold move.
It was.
Reclaiming his family history, you know, that had been fractured by slavery.
That letter wasn't just about finding his siblings.
Right.
It was about confronting the man who held him captive,
yeah.
demanding accountability, and exposing the cruelty that still, you know, was a part of American society.
It speaks to his unwavering commitment to justice.
It really does.
Even when facing personal risk.
And what's remarkable is that his story, his fight, it continues to resonate with us today.
It's a story about the resilience of the human spirit.
Yeah.
The power of hope
mm-hmm.
in the face of adversity.
Absolutely.
And the struggle for equality and justice.
Douglas's autobiography isn't just a historical document.
Right.
It's a call to action.
Yeah.
It challenges us to confront the legacy of slavery and its impact on our world today.
It compels us to look at our own biases.
Right.
And to actively work towards, you know, creating a more just an equitable world.
His words remind us that the fight for freedom is never really over.
It's a relay race.
It is.
Each generation must carry the torch forward.
And he doesn't offer easy answers.
Right.
He forces us to grapple with the complexities, you know, of race,
yeah.
power, and privilege.
Right.
And to recognize the systemic nature of inequality.
He challenges us to move beyond, you know, just words.
Yeah.
And to engage in real action.
Absolutely.
To dismantle those systems of oppression.
Right.
And create a society where everyone has a chance to thrive.
So as we wrap up, you know, this deep dive into Frederick Douglass's life,
yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway is that his story, it's not just about him.
Right.
It's about the millions who suffered under slavery,
mm-hmm.
about the fight for racial justice.
Yes.
And about the power of one person to make a difference.
His story is a testament to the power of the human spirit to overcome adversity.
Right.
And to inspire change.
It is.
It's a story that I think should ignite a fire in all of us.
Yeah.
A fire that fuels our commitment to justice, equality, and a world where everyone can be free.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the life and legacy of Frederick Douglass.